Welcome back to the Nutramedical Report. We are joined by my patent attorney, strategicpatentlaw.com, Russ Wunsheimer. And Russ, so welcome back to the program.
Hi, Dr. Bill.
Russ, I want you to describe the process you use that's unique compared to other patent officers and how you complete the idea of converting an idea to a asset and a business.
Okay. First, when we discuss the invention, I ask the inventor, what are the points of value in the invention? What are the things that provide benefits that other inventions, other products in that category do not provide?
Right.
So we identify what are those aspects that are really of value to the point that they might be stealable. And there may be many separately stealable features of it, and so that may mean we might have multiple inventions present in the product.
Right. And by the way, or in other words, you're always keeping an eye on the marketability and the business side of it rather than just the idea of patenting a general idea, which unfortunately a lot of people patent ideas and it doesn't become a marketable product because you don't think of it the way you do, which is product direction first when you're in the process of inquiring and then trying to also make it not only bulletproof so that it's defensible, but it also means that you're going to have something that's going to be convertible to an asset pretty quickly rather than just an idea that may kind of sit in the patent office for years.
Yes, yes, that's true. You have to understand where patent attorneys come from. Usually they're technical people, engineers, maybe programmers, someone with a scientific background, and they become disenchanted. They want something a little more interdisciplinary. So they decide, why don't I go to law school and become a patent attorney? So they do that. Or if they're technical, they may just want to become a patent agent and just sit for the patent bar exam. But generally, when people emerge from that, if they're a patent agent, they really are only thinking about the technical aspects of your invention. So they're not really skilled in the legal way of thinking, and they're certainly not thinking about the business and entrepreneurial aspects of it. When law school, you tend to become very lawyerly and you're technical, but you may go right from there into a law firm. And so you've never been in business, you've never thought about the markets and the selling.
Yeah, aspect. So in other words, you need both aspects. You need the legal side. I'll give an example. And I've talked to several companies since we got our patent because we've been interested in the idea that we may license some other large nutraceutical manufacturing company to actually purchase a license to use our technology for building their products for the Red Deer Velvet DR encapsulation special technology. Now, so far I haven't had any bites, but the fact is you have to approach it from, if you don't approach, let's say, the bigger market, they could actually say, hey, look at this guy. He's this small guy over here, this doctor. He's got something. Can I go bypass his patent and just make a product with a similar kind of technology? And if your patent's done properly, it becomes bulletproof against people doing big intellectual theft. This is the biggest problem we have with China. China's a giant bad actor. For example, just today, Trump got a deal with Europeans to get down to zero tariffs. And it means that the soybean farmers in the Midwest are going to be able to sell the soybeans. We're going to be able to sell our pork. They're going to be able to sell their vehicles. They won't have, right now, a 2.5% tariff, but they put 25% tariff on their cars. What it means is we're going to protect intellectual property at the same time when we're dealing with Europeans and Brits. China doesn't do that. China is basically committing what I call engineering and inventive suicide, because once the world wakes up to the fact that the only way their culture is able to manufacture things is to steal technology and intellectual property, their civilization is going to crash. It doesn't matter how big it is or how large the population, they don't have a legal method to make sure they protect intellectual property rights and intellectual rights, which is why they want to sign us over our intellectual property rights or our technology if a company comes into China. This is not rational, but part of the problem is the people that actually sign the deals or the people that patent here in America or Britain or Canada. If they're not patenting it properly, it can't be protected. So what you've done is made my patent for the specific technology to actually make the biomolecules and the hormones protected bulletproof against legal challenges or theft. In other words, you've set up a security system around my patent so that the thing of value is protected against theft, right?
Yes, yes. I thought broadly about what you were actually doing. The deer velvet I described in as broad terms as possible, and the encapsulation that gives the advantage to your formulation, I made sure was protected and described as broadly as possible. So when, if anyone goes outside what we have described and claimed, they will end up making a product that is significantly inferior to yours, so it couldn't possibly compete in the marketplace.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what's going to happen, basically, is Americans and people with a good legal structure and good patent officers like yourself are going to invent the future. The new trillionaires of the future are not people who just get cryptocurrencies. It's going to be people that invent the Jetsons for, say, 20 years or 30 years from now. They're going to be the trillionaires of the future. It won't be Amazon.com. It won't be Elon Musk with his failing Tesla cars. It will be people that invent the future and have proper patent protection of their ideas so they convert an idea from a small business to a big business to a world-changing technology. Because 90% of the new jobs 10 years from now haven't even been invented. So the jobs in 2030, all the new technical and non-technical jobs haven't been invented yet, but they're going to depend on good patent technology, which we're creating with excellent patent officers, patent attorneys like yourself that combine both the legal side and the business side. And you're unique because I've done patents before, and I had people that were technically good, but the patents were written in such a way that they wouldn't necessarily protect against anybody infringing on the patent. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. What I was explaining before, they typically are so technical, they're not really thinking about the communication aspect. We want to communicate the value of the invention as easily as possible so that when people read it, they immediately understand and appreciate that value. That's important for...
Let me give you an idea. For example, a few years ago, they came up with the idea of 3D printing, 3D printing plastic or metal parts and so on. Now, in the future, we're not just going to have 3D printing. We're going to have what's called ionic or what's called nanotechnology printing. In other words, we're going to print layers. So just like they make a ninja sword by folding the metal thousands of times, we're going to have folded multi-layer technology, which will actually create parts that we couldn't create with previous technology. And that when that patent comes out by whoever does it, we'll be able to create, let's say, aircrafts will be one-tenth the weight, but twice or three times the strength. One of the problems, for example, with a carbon fiber aircraft called the Dreamliner. Remember when they came up with that? Whoever came up with the Dreamliner, they were able to put it at higher pressure, so it's at an altitude of pressure equivalent to 5,000 feet, not 8,000. So the average airliner is equivalent to 8,000-foot elevation, which a lot of people is going to make them shorter breath or not feel well if they go on a long flight. Also, they're able to moisturize the air. But the problem is, the materials they use for making the Dreamliner, they didn't combine innovative new technology that needs to be invented, so the Dreamliner would actually be structurally stronger. Now, it is lighter, but it's not structurally strong enough to withstand the kind of forces if you get very serious turbulence or other problems. And so, as a result, the Dreamliner has structural problems, just like the Joint Strike Fighter. I know the engineers were working on the Joint Strike Fighter, and I got a technical background in pretty well every area from metallurgy to chemistry, inorganic chemistry, nuclear physics. So when I talk to these tech people, I realize if you're creating a new industry, you have to actually think of the business side of it as well as the technical side, so it's a teaching. And almost like, and since you're a patent professor, in other words, you have to teach the professorship of what's valuable in it and how to professionally, you know, bulletproof the patent so it actually has value. Because if it's not bulletproof, and you can't teach the technology which changes the worldview of what's available. For example, one of the things that we're doing here is we're trying to say patent officers should be all like you, but they aren't. So strategicpatentlaw.com, the number to call is 800-621-3654. If you want to get the real top-notch patents, get your ideas converted to assets with Russ Weinzimmer, patent attorney. Back in a moment.
Bacon.
We're back with Russ Weinzimmer, a patent attorney at strategicpatentlaw.com, strategicpatentlaw.com, and the phone number to call, 800-621-3654. Russ, I'd like you to continue that basically what I call the billionaires and trillionaires of the next 30 years are going to be people who invent the future. The future is not just going to happen spontaneously. It's not going to be big corporations or collective institutions, or even, quote, universities. University professors basically are ensconced by a professorship, you know, station, because they don't violate something they wrote in a paper 5 years ago, they disprove with a future paper, or they disprove their colleagues are not on the right track. So it's almost like, you know, a group of birds that fly in a specific pattern in the sky. They may look random, but it's basically once the sentinel bird moves in a certain direction, the other birds have to move that way, even if it's not going to accomplish anything. So you're not going to find these discoveries in the future from collectives or universities. You're going to find it from people like Nikola Tesla, who is basically an outlier, or someone who looks in the medicine like me, who's retired, who actually is inventing new technology for anti-aging, who is going to combine technologies and provable test a way to prove it works. Whether it's, for example, my epigenetic frequency therapy that can apply to humans, animals, and even plants, which we'll expand on later once we get the patents applications going over the next year or so. But your technique is very unique, and that's what I want people to realize. If you have a good idea, you can be a machine tool guy. You can be an electrician. You can be a guy that's just, you know, a tinkerer. And you've got a great idea for the next, what I call, paperclip idea. The next whiz-bang, oh, my God, how come I didn't invent that thing, you know? I'm sure lots of people out there that after it happens, like, you know, I talked to my grandfather, who was pretty bright, but he was only a grade 3. But he said to me years ago, this must be like 40 years ago plus, that he saw the first television, I think, in New York City. It was actually displayed in one of the windows of one of their big department stores back in the 40s, and he said, you know, I thought somebody was going to invent something like that, a way of actually creating an image on the screen. And then, of course, the people that developed plasma screens and so on, the newer technologies are going to blow away the previous technologies, aren't they? And people don't realize the inventors of the future are the new trillionaires and billionaires of the future as well. They're going to have a platform to create newer inventions and create a new world that people can't even imagine will exist, say, 30 years from now. Right?
Absolutely. Inventions are just new combinations of things, and you can have new combinations of old things, but when you add all of the new products, the new technologies, you're literally creating a combinatorial explosion of new invention opportunities.
Now, some of these things I consider toxic. For example, we need an alternative to 5G networks, where, for example, there's a company out of Britain that has a system where you can put an LED in your ceiling and it transmits 200 times faster than Wi-Fi in your home. Well, we need something like that where we have technology that kind of bypasses. So if somebody invents a non-toxic way of communicating, so you can create a, what I call a virtual matrix, so you can have a skyway, in other words, highways in the sky, they're not toxic, because the 5G network is going to be toxic to life forms. So there's an opportunity there. In other words, the paradox and the problem is an answer to a question we haven't asked yet. Same way as healthcare. Why are more people dying of heart failure by 440% than the previous decade? Why are more people getting demented? Well, once you ask the right question, you find a solution that can be patentable. The same way as if maybe you're going to make a new material, or make a car paint that actually will last longer, or make an engine that's more efficient than, say, the Tesla engines and how they work for vehicles. Make ways of growing food that's non-toxic, that doesn't require genetic monoculture. In other words, we need to think of how can we make children, say, bulletproof from infections without vaccinating the hell out of them and causing all kinds of disease. So, in other words, an invention, in a sense, is crystallizing the right questions to ask to resolve a paradox or a problem that exists already. And it's sometimes combinations of previous things that are novel that can be a marketable product. So I'm sure you have other good examples, but, you know, maybe you want to pull up some of your other patents you've done for other people.
Well, one thing you hone in on very often, and I completely agree, is the power of questions and the necessity of good questions and better questions. And there's a simple question anyone can ask themselves to get themselves out of the passivity of normal life. Normally, you just accept things as they are.
Right.
But if you start asking yourself, how can I make it better? And it may only be just a small little improvement. You may say, well, that's not patentable. And you can always ask the question again, all right, I've just made it better. But now how can I make it even better? And just keep iterating, keep asking that question over and over and accumulating small improvements. Even many small improvements could result in something that provides such a big benefit, such a huge improvement, that then becomes worth patenting.
Yeah, which is really exciting. In fact, I'm so excited about this because I have a lot of ideas. I used to think this back, 38, 40 years ago. I could literally come up with a new invention idea a day or a week. But, you have to sift those through to say, is that idea unique and defensible, number one? And number two, can it be converted to a product or a service, number two? And if it can't provide both of those answers, you shouldn't pursue it, right?
Yeah, there's a few questions that really generally apply. The question is, can we patent it, and should we patent it?
Right, and can it be converted to a product that you can either if you don't market it yourself, you can sell it to a corporation, and they can then have the production capacity to make it.
Well,
either
exactly.
Here, yeah.
So you shouldn't be limited by what you can make yourself. You don't need to ever make a prototype to patent your invention. It just needs to be explained in such a way that the document, the patent, will teach how to make and use the invention. And that's what we did with your Red Deer Velvet DR product. We included all the information on how to make and use it.
Right. So I'll give you an example. So I'm just going to imagineer here, and it's not necessarily based on science, but I know some scientific background on it. We know plasma is the best way to distribute power. So if you can invent a power distribution system using a plasma line that literally has no metal in it, but literally isn't a vacuum tube that would have a magnetic barrier so you could actually pump plasma down it, that would mean all your power lines would disappear. Or if you decide to have not just a battery based on the latest one that I've researched is made in Shenzhen, China, called a silicon salt battery. It was invented by a Westerner, but the Chinese, of course, steal everything. And they make tons of these batteries. They used to use it for their military, for their submarines and their helicopters and so on. But 5 years ago, when their father died, it was the main one making it in Shenzhen. He passed to his son, and he's selling them. So most of the silicon batteries that are sold here in America are all made in Shenzhen, China. Now, we can invent even better batteries. For example, if somebody comes up with a better battery that has materials that are, say, in America, that reduces the cost dramatically, because our big storage now, my niece, Danielle, who has her PhD in plasma physics at 18 and her master's at 13 from one of the major universities in the East Coast, I think right now. She actually invented a presser, thin compression system for storing hundreds of thousands of kilowatts for major power corporations, and they're selling them all over the world. So that invention is going to make them very wealthy by allowing power corporations to smooth the power curve. So when they have more solar panels or more production, like nuclear reactors or whatever, they can store the power and release it over the next months and days. Right?
Yeah.
We have joining us Jim Schlomer. Now, Jim, I've known for years. He's actually visited us here in Southern California. And he's a geopolitical, we call private citizen genius. And he's found organizations and people that will solve a lot of problems that are going to force us to make a decision. Now, I've known Jim for a while, and I've considered some of the things he's offered. But now it's becoming more urgent that I start taking action in the direction he's talked about. And we're going to talk about this in terms of private citizenship and the fact of what's coming down the pike. What's coming down the pike just this week, the deep state decided, it was passed during George Bush, to say they can revoke your passport just by producing a few clicks on a button on some agency, so you can't leave the country. You can be a billionaire and I have a private facility of $9 million in New Zealand. You can't leave because you don't have a passport anymore. You have to understand that what's going on right now is if a socialist comes over and takes over the country, like Ocasio-Cortez or sort of various combinations, say, in the state of California, you're going to pay through the nose. You have to realize that as time goes on, the state and the federal government, including William Wray, the new FBI director, are using more and more metadata to actually monitor you because you're a chattel inventory item in the Internet of Things of the government. In fact, even your birth certificate is chattelized in C Corporation against the federal debt. People don't know that, do they, Jim?
No.
So you mentioned a couple of links that you gave me, and we want to talk about this, and I'm going to post up the links after the show. But I'd like you to go over some of the specifics of what you sent me, Jim, because you have a couple of corporations. One is hisadvocates.org. That's H-I-S, advocates, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E-S.org. And I'd like you to kind of explain what His Advocates does and what's coming down the pike in terms of why this is getting more urgent. This is not like I put it off and put it off several years. And I thought, okay, no, I don't have to do anything about this now. It's going to be that there's a change coming between now and the next 2 years and the next 10 years that if you don't get yourself out of the current matrix and the current situation, you may regret it, really badly actually regret it. In fact, you can see it like a Mack truck heading directly toward you and you can't get off the highway because you're stuck in, say, some tar. And people don't understand that this is coming at us, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. It's coming at us really quick.
Really quick, yeah. And I try to avoid it, to be honest with you. That's why I'm coming to you on the show now after years of discussion. So what did you find? And you did this to get private citizenship. You actually talked about things like setting up a trust so that you're no longer paying federal state taxes. You have a passport that makes you a passport citizen, say, of California where I live, rather than a U.S. citizen, so they can't shut off your passport. You start becoming literally a private citizen, so your birth certificate is not chattelized against the federal debt. You're actually chattelized against the federal debt. People don't realize that, do they?
No, not at all. Matter of fact, you're basically a piece of property.
Right.
It all starts out when your parents got your Social Security card and they gave you to the state. And then at the same time, there was a bond set up for you, $1.3 million bond set up in your name. So whenever you go anywhere, everything is contract. In other words, you get a driver's license, you sign a contract. You build a house, you get a contract, building permit. And that's what they call a public life. In other words, you're under the thumb of the state, and basically you think you have privacy. You don't, because your parents turned you over and the state owns you.
And you don't even have a private property. You don't even have property. For example, one of the things that the natives are fighting for is the rights right through to the center of the earth for property rights, even to the mineral rights under the ground. And because of the original treaties made by natives, even in the Supreme Court, they actually have property rights to goes right through the earth. Which is why a lot of the oil fields and so on and mineral fields for things like uranium, right, if they're on native territory, say in North Dakota, on native lands, they have what's called private property rights, which regular citizens of America don't. In fact, when they passed some of the amendments to the Constitution, which they did after the civil rights and after the Civil War, they changed the actual nature of U.S. citizenship. So in a sense, especially after 1933 with the declaration of martial law, which they've renewed, in fact, even President Trump's renewed twice already since he's been elected, we actually are in the law of martial law and a martial state of national emergency, aren't we?
Yes. We've been under every since. Matter of fact, whenever you see the flag, if you see a gold fringe on it, that means we're at war.
Right, and that war, by the way, means what's called the Admiralty flag, the flag of like the British Royals, when you have the Royal Fringe flag, it means you're in a war state. It's no longer the issue of the land, and so the land of the operation of the high seas, which is why we have, back when where I was raised, although I was born in Detroit, in Nova Scotia, they had what's called privateers. The privateers flag was a flag that had the fringe on it because it meant they had admiralty law, which is law of the high seas. It's totally different, isn't it?
Yes, and our court system is run by admiralty law now. That's the reason the Constitution or the rule of law doesn't apply there, because whatever the captain of the ship, which is your judge, decides, he can do, and he can bypass Constitution because it doesn't make any difference in the court.
Right, exactly. And people don't realize that, and that's why the lawyers are lying, because they're phonetically as close to liar. The lawyers are not telling us that we actually don't have a constitutional republic anymore. Now, it is in people's hearts, like it's in my heart, but the fact is in operation, because these people that run the law system, it's called basically, if you're a member of the bar, it means the British Authorized Registry, and believe it or not, 67 nations have bar associations, including China and Russia. People don't realize that. It's not just a British system. It's infested and infected every single system on Earth. And in fact, the bar, which is a Masonic organization, runs everything. And you're actually a chattelized piece of property because you're not what's considered a lord or a bail of the land. This is all Luciferic stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And they put us in that situation, and we can't figure it out. But at the same time,
that's why if you don't pay your property taxes, you lose your home.
Yeah, but you know, one thing about it is when you buy your piece of property and you sign the paperwork and you give it to the county, if you notice on your bill, and all of you should take a look at your statement, your tax statement, because it says that you're not an owner, you're a tenant.
Right.
So it tells you right there, you're just renting the property and you just gave your property. And
now, you can convert it, though. You can convert it to a trust where the trust actually owns the property and you become a private citizen. And people say, well, that's not important. I said, well, it's going to become important in 2 years. After 9/11, which was an inside job, because then people say, oh, we got to get rid of, I heard these idiots on CNN saying they want to get rid of, say, Alex Jones because he believes in the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. Alex is right. It's an inside job, okay, people? It's like, oh, maybe that's your opinion. I'm not interested in your goddamned opinion, people. You need to know this is a fact. I tried to do radiation toxicology in the World Trade Center to believe for now since 9/11, which is now 17 years. And guess what? The last country that turned me down was Japan 2 years ago. I said their State Department is not even allowed to talk to me, let alone their radiation toxicology labs in their major city. Okay, so you have to understand here, this isn't open to your damned opinion. And the fact is, 2 years from now, the 2020 ID, which was passed during George Bush, and not even mentioned during Obama, is going to come under the radar as we're heading toward the 2020 election. And Trump's not mentioned a damn thing about it. But guess what? That is tied directly to not only biometrically, literally tagging you like a piece of, like a sheep or a cow, but also vaccinating with you up to, literally in the pipeline, 271 adult vaccines, let alone the children's vaccines, and possibly tagging you with a trackable chip, or making certain that you can be tracked right to your GPS coordinates down to a cubic meter. And people say, no, Dr. Deagle, they're not building the Matrix. I said, you're a freaking idiot. It doesn't matter if it's Hillary, Rod, and Clinton, the Hildebeest, or Donald Trump, who's trying to do some right things. But under the radar, whether it's done by the deep state administrators, which they did, they didn't do with Trump's accession. People don't understand this. The deep state still controls everything. Why do you think Rosenstein is being impeached today? Why do you think the deep state was trying to protect Hillary Rodham Clinton, even though she lost the election? Why do you think they made all these dirty deals? The fact is, they're getting ready to do some really nasty stuff down the road, which is population reduction. And once they get control of your property and you can vaccinate you and track you, it's over.
Yep, sure is.
Okay? So I wanted to avoid it. I don't think I can avoid it much longer. I want to own my property through a trust. I don't want to have my passport denied because some moron decides to go click, click. We don't want Deagle traveling out of the country. Welcome back. For example, a lot of people don't realize, for example, things like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050. These aren't open to anybody's damned opinion. It's just the way it is. And if you actually read the law, it's already been passed during George Bush, who was another maniac, and never mentioned during the Obama years, but it's going to come up before the 2020 election, is the National Biometric ID. And a lot of states are already making it compliant. I actually posted up a link last week on it about the compliant, I think in the state of Ohio. And people need to realize the biometrics and the tracking and all the other crap about it. This is the Matrix, you know, like the Matrix movie. People say, Dr. Deagle, you're making that up. I say, you know what? My painful and inglorious experiences and my knowledge is not up for your damned opinion. It's just the way it is. And whether you want to believe it or not, you can actually decide to get out of the way of the vehicle because it will smash into you like a Mack truck or about to hit the deer in the middle of the freeway, or you can decide to do something different. But I've decided, and I'm going to have more discussions with my wife Michelle in the next number of months, I've got to decide, do we want to put everything into a trust and get away from this beast? Because I don't see even the alternative media dealing with this issue. Do you? It's very small.
The only way you can do it is to be a private person, because basically what they did is they took our country and laid a corporation on top of it. And it's like any mob corporation, as long as you paid the money, like taxes and your fees and this, they leave you alone. But if you don't, they come after and take all your stuff. And that's what a public citizen...
Look what they're doing to Manafort. Or look what they're doing to Manafort. Explain Manafort. Now, Manafort is right now 23 out of 24 hours a day, he's in maximum security. It's basically because he supposedly didn't pay taxes on foreign money he got for marketing for a foreign power, when the vast majority of people in the Beltway around Washington, D.C. do the exact same damn thing. But the problem is they want to try to squeeze his nuts geopolitically hard enough. He's willing to make up stuff to try to get to have a modus for the Democrats, the people like Lanny, whatever, this attorney that was working with Clinton, to go after and pass material over to the Congress if they have a blue wave to impeach Trump. Because the globalists, which are both Republican and Democrat, the reason is Trump is a disruptor. He doesn't even give the salary away as a charity. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't want lobbyists. And because they can't own him and buy him off and control him, they're freaked out. And it's the left and the right. And people have to realize this is our last chance for America, and not only America, the whole world. So if you're a New Zealander or an Australian or a Canadian, you're dealing with the idiocy of people like Justin Trudeau, who's made it a crime that you actually disrespect, let's say, Muhammad or Allah. You're going to go to jail. You're going to go to the big house. In fact, I was told in 2000, which is 18 years ago, January, 18 and a half years ago, by the Thesans, who run the ministry there called It's a New Day. They're now retired, and their daughter and son-in-law takes over. But they said, hey, if you mention the things you usually do on your show, Deagle, you're going to have an RCMP officer arrest and cuff you on the spot, plus they're going to switch off our radio and television tower. Now, you got to get real, people. People say, well, how brave are you, Deagle? I said, look, I've died twice and almost a third time 5 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I am totally fearless. And that scares the hell out of the dark side. Because I know eventually what I'm going to do is the right thing is going to kill me. I'm not afraid to die. I've been there twice, at birth and 8 and a half. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do the right thing for my brothers and sisters. And one of the things I see happening is they're going to use this channelization and eventually hacking into human consciousness so they control not only every product you buy by posting up things on your Facebook page and your Twitter account or on your internet searches. They're going to know every one of your damn thoughts, and they want to know where your carcass is right to a cubic meter, so they'll know where they are if they want to hit you with a directed energy weapon or whatever. People say, no, they can't do that. I said, you know, you're an idiot, and there's no cure for it.
Yeah, they're going to do it all right. But, you know, here's the opportunity, guys. You're out there. Go to HISadvocates.org.
What are they going to offer? What are the steps?
Yeah.
What are the steps they offer? Okay. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, because you can get different levels, right? And there's newer things that they've actually developed.
The thing to do is to go to the site, sign in, get a 14-day free membership, which gives you access to everything there. Check it out. They've got hundreds of videos on land patents, how to be a free man, how to, you know, not pay your mortgage. By the way, that's another contract, because I was telling you, when you were born, you got your Social Security card. Whenever you borrow something, they get paid twice. Like, if you go to the bank and you get $1,000, you put your signature down there, and then...
Can you convert your mortgage over to this trust? Is that how you can you do that?
Yes, you can do everything. But what one of the things I was telling you is when you go to the bank and you borrow $1,000, in 30 days they can go on out and they get $1,000 out of your bond that was set up when you got your Social Security card. Then in 90 days they can go out and add 2 zeros to that $1,000 to make it $1 million, and $100,000. and they sell it as a debt instrument. So they made $100,000, $102,000 plus interest off of your signature. So whenever you don't pay something like that, they've already been paid multiple times over.
Right.
I had a little debt problem a few years ago, and I realized that I couldn't pay it. Instead of going bankrupt, I was told to go ahead and write all the companies that were sending me these letters and asking, please send me a signed, certified copy of the bill. Guess what? Nobody sent me a bill because it isn't a bill. It's a statement. And that's what you got to realize. It's all virtual. It's all... It doesn't really exist, but this trust, the reason these big boys like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds never pay taxes and are so...
They're all trusts.
It's accumulated over generations of time because they don't own anything. They just have the trust.
Exactly. If you look at the Rockefeller Trust, for example, or if you look at these global families, 98% of their wealth is in trust, and we're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars. I think the top 12 families... have got somewhere around $300 or $400 trillion in trusts. And they live off, literally, and take millions out of that, but they live off the trust. And the trust covers whatever they want, including political action committees to affect this or that political party, special projects, globalist stuff like the United Nations ICLEI project for resilient cities. In other words, they're manipulating the world government, and they have these trusts that don't pay anything, and they live off them and don't pay taxes. That's craziness. And we don't take advantage of it, do we?
No, we don't. And also, they have special things. Like if you have a trust, for instance, and you get a paycheck, your Social Security check or whatever thing, it goes into your trust as a donation. And then all you do is draw money off of your trust. So you really don't own anything. Everything is in your trust. And by the way, that trust can include family members, friends, whatever. You can make
trust. Yeah, well, it also means that if you die... you don't have to have a death tax. For example, right now I think they get rid of some of the death tax, but I don't think it's all gone, is it yet?
Yeah, there's no probate, nothing, because everything is just handed over to the people that are living in that trust. And the nice thing about it is everybody can do it, the little guy, the big guy, anybody, and you can live free. And the nice thing about it, too, is you have rights. Now, if you go to the Constitution, the first 12 amendments of the Constitution are your rights. That is the Bill of Rights. The 13th Amendment on are your privileges. They're not rights at all. They're privileges. And when Obama was in office, when you went to whitehouse.gov and you looked it up, the first 12 amendments of the Constitution had square brackets around them. 13th Amendment on to the 25th didn't. And the reason for that is they're telling you, and square brackets, by the way, mean can be deleted, isn't important, is basically is deleted. So they're telling you you have no rights, but here are your privileges, the 13th Amendment on.
Right.
And that's what we live under, is the privileges. Now, what this does in setting up your trust, you get your rights back. And that's a heck of a thing. You give up your Social Security number, everything, but you don't give up your benefits. So if you got retirement or your paycheck or your
you still get your Social Security checks and so on, too, right?
Yeah, it goes right into your trust as a donation. And so, you know, when you buy cars and you buy homes and you buy other stuff, it all goes into trust. You live in them. You can do whatever you want. And when you pass away, whoever's in your trust, your children or your wife, it goes right to them. No problem.
So, yeah, there's no legal transfer and all this other foolishness, right?
No, not at all. You own it. It's like having what you get is you get your rights back, like the Constitution said, which were called inalienable rights under God.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's under God. We live under the beast.
Yeah. Well, we live under Gog, I call G-O-G. Do you like that?
Yeah.
Just like the prophetic warning in Ezekiel 38, I have seen you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech, Tubal, and Rosh. How about Gog, which is, I call Gogol, the supernet, the deep state, the intel agencies, the banks, the globalists that have actually run trusts and run the world with things like the Soros Trust, for example, how they run the world with that, with Orange Revolutions and so on. We're all victims because we don't realize what's going on. Again, that link again is his
advocates. I'm sorry, go ahead.
His advocates.org, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Jim. We'll have you back on.
You're welcome.